Jesus, we just thank you. Oh my goodness, that was a good song. Marcelina didn't know what I was speaking about today, and most of you think I'm speaking about the third session of Healthy Heart Habits. And well, because it's Communion Sunday and it's Pentecostal Sunday, there's a little bit of a change, and it wasn't done on purpose. But what we're going to do is I'm going to be talking about the perspective of praise today. And Marcelina had no idea that that's what I was going to be talking about. And so we know the Holy Spirit is moving. And it's so funny because I'm sitting there back on the drums and Marcelina's like, let's give Lord praise. Let's give him praise for everything. And I'm like, this is what we're talking about today. So it's so good. It's so good. So again, the message today is the perspective of praise. Our key verse this morning is Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, interestingly enough, when you read Old Testament scripture, when a word is repeated twice, and even three times where we see it, it means pay very, very close attention to this word. See, In Hebrew and Greek, they didn't have exclamation marks. But when they repeated a word, it meant that you were to pay attention to this even more closely than what was said previous to that. And so Paul is writing here twice, and he mentions it a couple of times when he's writing to the Philippians. He mentions, it says, to rejoice always in the Lord. And my opinion, this is my personal opinion, in the Western church, this rejoice in the Lord always, and again, it's a rejoice, it's just something we say. It's not actually something we do. You know, if I'm being honest with myself, I would say, yeah, 10% of the time I might rejoice in a bad situation. But, you know, the other bit's complaining, and then it's telling my wife, and then I'll go to prayer about it and not rejoice in it at all. I mean, you take a look at a bad situation, and rejoicing is probably the furthest thing from your mind. But what Paul is doing is he's challenging us to rejoice in all situations, even the horrible ones that just don't seem like there's any answer to or a way out or whatnot. But he's saying, rejoice anyway. You know, when somebody hurts you or lies to you, when you're maybe when if you're sick, maybe you're having car trouble, you know, maybe, you know, something's going on in your life, but Paul is saying, rejoice anyway, all right? So let's look at 1 Thessalonians. I always have a problem saying that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The next slide here says, God's will for us is to be rejoicing always, praying constantly, and giving thanks in all situations, good or bad. This is God's will. This is what God wants us to do, regardless of the situation. He wants us to be rejoicing, good or bad. Because it's easy to rejoice in the good things. It's easy to do that. But it takes heart effort to have a heart change or a mindset to rejoice in the things that aren't so good. Jumping back into Philippians here, we're going to read the rest of this. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. How many times have we heard this? Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Paul is saying that in your prayer that you're bringing to the Lord, be thankful. Bring it to him with a thankful heart in the situation that you are in. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, when Paul is writing this, he's locked up in prison. And Paul and Silas, in part of this, they're actually singing in prison. We'll talk about that in a minute. But how was Paul able to take his circumstance and turn it around and see rejoicing in this situation? He's locked up. He's like the situation that he's in, he is rejoicing in the fact that he's locked up. How is he able to do this? Well, let's look at three reasons why Paul was able to do this. The first one, the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us wisdom, hope, and joy. You know, this is very interesting because there's different ideas between receiving the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And in John 20:22, when Jesus rose from the dead, comes and appears before the disciples and says that he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. He says, receive the Holy Spirit as he breathed on them. And then in Acts 2:2, the Spirit ascended on them and they were filled with power. So there is a receiving as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then there's the part where the Holy Spirit brings us power in him to be able to do the works of the ministry, to bring us even in heavy circumstances, the joy of the Holy Spirit can be with us in all circumstances. So the second part here is the perspective. Looking through the situation that you're in through the eyes of Jesus. Now, this takes practice to do because right away we always take a look at a situation and we look through it through our normal eyes, through our normal lens. But if we look at the situation through the eyes of Jesus and ask ourselves, do you remember the old wristband bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? Do you remember that? I think they're still around. But in this situation, we're looking at a situation, how would Jesus see this? How would Jesus see this? And it's really hard to imagine what Jesus is seeing, but we do have the mind of Christ. We do have, if we are able to tap into the Holy Spirit, we have the mind of Christ, and we can get the perception of how Jesus sees this situation. And of course, number three is building a relationship with Jesus continually. This will help us to be able to see how Jesus sees. See, the more you're influenced by Jesus, the more you're going to be able to see like him and think like him. And this is very interesting. The power, or let's put it this way. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we just have a belief system. Every religion in the world has a belief system. The only difference between Christianity and the belief system of every other religion is the power of the Holy Spirit that attests to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power that is in us. Because no other religion can say that they have a God that's living. Jesus is alive and he is in us and he has a personal relationship with us. So perspective, as you know, means to see or how you see something. But bad situations give us an opportunity to change our perspective if we're willing to see it differently. See, the Holy Spirit always gives you joy. It's always there. It hasn't gone away. Joy is not a feeling. It is a choice, and it's also perspective. Looking at Romans 5:13 and Galatians 5:22, Romans 5:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in all hope. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, the Holy Spirit gives us these things in all circumstances. We just have to realize that he's there in that circumstance. And sometimes that's hard to do. Our circumstance sometimes is so strong and so in our face that we forget that the Holy Spirit is there to be able to speak to us, to direct us, to bring us a different perspective than we normally would have in this situation. I mean, I don't have this perspective at all the time. I'm saying it's probably 20% of the time, because I'll go through certain things, and like when something happens, I'll do this and then I'll do that, and then I'll finally go into prayer, and then Lord's just like, help me with this, and then now I'm praying out of a need rather than out of faith, or I'm praying out of fear rather than, you know, a thanksgiving to understand, hey Lord, I don't know how you're going to work this out for me, but I can't wait to see it. You know, that's kind of a hard prayer to say at the time. But if you think about it, it's God already knows what's going on. He already knows what the situation is. He already saw it. He already has a plan for your life. So it's not like this is going, oh my goodness, God is not up there going, I don't know what to do. I didn't even see this coming. How did this even happen? I guess I have to work out what's going to, you know. He's not doing that. He already knows what's happening. And so if we reach out and with our heart and just in thanksgiving, and even if we don't feel like it and we're not in that position to even feel like, just tell your emotions to shut up. Like literally just, okay, emotions, anxiety, whatever's going on, shut up. I know that I'm a child of God and that he hears my prayer. And so, Lord, I thank you in this situation. I don't know how to be thankful. My heart isn't there in that situation, but I thank you because that's all. And I know that this is the situation, that you are God and you know everything that's going on. And I can't wait to see how you're going to work this out. And even if there is no answer, praise him anyway. Praise him anyway. When we go through things, one of the best prayers that we can do is, God, give me your perspective on this. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Praise him even if we don't get the answer. There is power in praise. So praise him even if you don't feel like it. Jesus was able to endure the cross because of the joy that was set before him. And now Jesus is our joy that's set before us. Look at Paul's perspective here in Philippians 1, 12 and 13. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Like, Paul's perspective in this situation is a good thing I'm in this prison, because nobody else is going to be able to evangelize to these people. I'm in prison with them. This is great. I have a message for them. Only God could have put me here to give a message to the guards and all the people that are in prison. Hallelujah. This is the perspective Paul is doing right now, or looking at right now. Paul was able to view this divine as a divine appointment. He was in prison and he was joyful. Being infilled with the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to see situations that are ridiculous in the situation that we're in. Like, how can you have joy and have peace in this situation? But the Holy Spirit does that for us. See, we forget that God says if you need wisdom, to ask for it. We forget that God gives good gifts to his children in all situations. It doesn't mean that he gives us good gifts just when there is this particular situation going, or just when we're praising him, or just when things are going on, but he will give us good gifts in all situations. Never rely on the world's view of what's going on. That's the worst thing we can do. Okay, let's look at another jail time. Acts 16, 22 to 30. So Paul and Silas were put in prison. Just a little backstory here. The reason they were put in prison is because Paul cast out a demon out of this girl. As they were walking by, he walked by her a few times, then decided, okay, that's it. And it just commanded the demon to leave. And now this girl, who is pretty much just a prisoner, a slave to these two businessmen who are taking advantage of her, it was like she was fortune telling. And it's like, it was psychic reading back in the day. And this is what this girl was doing. And so demon was cast out, and now they're angry, and the whole townspeople are angry. Let's read in verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been beaten had been severely flogged. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Interesting. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So you have, you can picture this, you've got your jail where you have prisoners, and then you have an inner jail where they would put the most severe criminals, because in case somehow they managed to break out, they were still in jail. So think about where they're actually putting Paul and Silas in this situation. They're putting him in this section where they would put the worst criminals. So about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, praising God while they're in prison. Like, this could have been a great opportunity to have a really bad perspective. Like, seriously, I can see this happening, like, you in this day and age. God, I was doing ministry, I was, you know, feeding the poor, I was doing all these things for you, God, and all of a sudden now I didn't do anything wrong, and now I'm in prison in the worst possible place. How could you let this happen to me? God, I thought you loved me. I thought that you cared about me. I thought you were protecting me. Now I'm in this prison. That would have been a great place for Paul and Silas to be upset. They weren't. They were singing. They were praising about who God was, not what he could do for them. They praised him for who he was. Praise him no matter what's going on. The power of praise will never lose its power in any situation. Okay, back to Acts here, verse 26. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. This is weird, right? So, not a normal earthquake, because if all your chains are falling off and the prison doors are open, not your typical earthquake. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. So understand this, before we go any further, understand this. They couldn't see anything. Paul and Silas couldn't see anything. It was dark. And Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." Paul couldn't see anything. The prisoner couldn't see anything because they thought I would escape. Because why is that? Why do I know that he couldn't see anything? Because the jailer called for lights. He called for lights. He called in. He said, "Turn on the light switch." No, he said, "You know, call, bring in the fire." You know, and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. So the jailer couldn't see. It was dark. So the Lord had Paul and Silas, or at least had Paul, giving him a word of knowledge that the jailer was about to kill himself. And Paul shouted out, "Hey, we're all here." And the jailer trembles before Paul and Saul. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, this wasn't about Paul and Silas being in prison. This wasn't about God giving Paul and Silas a get out of jail free card. This was about one man. This was about, they were in prison because God had a plan for this one man. And Paul, understanding Paul in there, when it shook and all the things out, it wasn't that, okay, God's setting us free. No, he stayed to save this one man's life. And then what happens is this jailer takes them back to and home, take them back to their house, cleans them up, gives them dinner, and his whole household gets saved. You never know where your praise is going to lead you. You never know where that praise is going to lead you. No idea. So don't think about your situation as it's about you, because it's about him. Our circumstances are not about us. We praise God no matter what the situation is or what's going on. We be thankful, even if all in of us just wants to cry out and shout, why is this happening? We can still praise God. It's always about who he is, not what he can do for us. Back to our key verse today. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We're going to be partaking in communion today. Let's have a heart of praise today. Let's have a heart of praise. Whatever's going on in your life today, maybe it's small, maybe it's big, Jesus knows. He's not far. And so will you honor Jesus today with thanksgiving and praise, no matter what is going on in your life?